Welcome back. In this journey of trying to understand e-commerce and rural selling, rural entrepreneurship, rural business, and how they can take advantages of e-commerce in rural area, we've gone through the big journey on understanding the technology behind it, the processes, the challenges, and how government through its policy making is helping them and can help them, and how can they build trust, include them in financial inclusion. One of the best ways to even understand this more is that you start looking at case studies, things which have been successful, and pick up the best practices yourself. So in this chapter, what we'll try to do is we'll go through these various case studies, our identification of best practices, but it is possible that you may identify other best practices. So you can understand it yourself. So to start with, we all know now that rural e-commerce platforms have transformed how rural communities participate in the economies, both as a buyer as well as the seller. So from a selling point of view, these platforms actually have bridged gap by giving market access, technology, and providing logistics for rural entrepreneurs. And by integrating digital tools with localized solution, these platforms have also addressed key rural challenges which come to these rural entrepreneurs. As an outcome of this, the farmers, the artisans, and the small businesses have benefited from direct-to-customer sales model. And government and private sector have also come up with initiatives which are adding fueling the growth of this inclusive e-commerce ecosystem. So one of the first case study that we'll go through is the DHAT case study, which is bridging farmers with the market. So DHAT has market linkages. So what they do is they connect the farmers directly with buyers by eliminating intermediaries for better pricing. To understand this, you have to go before DHAT. What used to happen is there were people who were having information about pricing, who were in between the farmers and the buyers, because the buyers did not want to speak to a lot of people who are selling. As a result of which, the intermediaries was actually becoming a super buyer and trying to get more out of the farmers as well as with the buyers. Now with this platform, the buyers see the seller's price, they put their own price, and then some farmers who want to sell at that price can directly deal with that buyer. So the intermediaries have actually gone out, resulting into some cost saving maybe for the buyer and profits, extra money or extra profit to the seller. More importantly, DHAT is bringing access to quality inputs for the farmers. So it is able to give access to the right sellers to give you the good seeds, fertilizers, and tools, and do it at a competitive price. Also, DHAT is providing advisory service. So in case you are facing a challenge as a farmer, you can take the advisory service of DHAT, which is a mobile-based expert guidance. So whether it is farming techniques, pest control, weather updates, water putting, and so on and so forth. So what has happened is there's been a lot of technology integration in the DHAT, where the farmers are using DHAT app for ordering, sales, and real-time agricultural insights. Also, because they have access to so many farmers and as well as the buyers, the DHAT is tied up with microfinance companies and other fintechs, and they provide credit facilities to small farmers through their app. This is the example of DHAT, which is sowing the seeds of agri-revolution in India. Now, what was the impact of DHAT on rural communities? So, farmers' income went up by 40%. Due to market direct market access. More importantly, because they had expert advice, and once they trusted that expert advice, the crop failures reduced and the yield improved with improved quality as well. No wonder the earnings went up. Also, the women farmers who were shy or were bound by society reasons still had access to the markets and financial support. So they got empowered and they started contributing in a big way. So why did it work? I think that's the key thing that we have to look at. So first, DHAT people built trust with everyone involved in the transaction, whether it is farmer, buyer, saying they are standing for quality, they will be the checker. Secondly, they brought the localized service. So local language was used. People who understand that the terminology was very local, and they seamlessly did integration between digital and offline method. And this model can definitely be scaled. It can go to multiple regions with minimum infrastructure changes, because now the app is ready, the experts are there, the soil knowledge and other things are known. It's just the question of implementing it there in the different region. Another success story is the farmer ERP. Now, this is a technology-driven agriculture management. So what does it do? It supports your crop cycle planning. It helps you in irrigation management and harvesting. Also, it brings about supply chain transparency by ensuring traceability and ensuring that you meet the global quality standards. Because it's an ERP, it has a lot of data. So it also comes up with data analytics, which actually helps to understand the weather forecasting, the soil conditions after the use or harvesting, and what should be the next product that should be done, and other market trends. So you can balance the supply with the demand and thereby not only reduce your cost but increase your profitability. Because it understands soil and other aspects of farming, it brings sustainability as a factor in big focus. So what are they working on? They're able to demonstrate water conservation. They're able to bring to practice organic farming and thereby protect the climate change by reducing the carbon footprint. And because there is a lot of demand for such products, and they can ask for premium, they are able to justify it and get better priced. You can also do remote monitoring, so you need not go to farms for small things. So you have IoT enabled tracking, so you can monitor, the farmers are able to monitor crop health in real time by just looking at their mobile screens. So what was the impact? I have discussed some impact, but let's go them again one by one. Higher yields. So once you did precision farming techniques and put it into use, optimal input use, you were able to increase the yield with using less of resource. The moment you use less resource, you avoid wastages and increase efficiency. So that gives you the second advantage, which your cost comes down. More importantly, while you are still a small holder farmer possibly, because of the certification and traceability demonstration, certification support and getting certified, you get access to premium buyers. Now, premium buyers, if they want 10 kgs, 20 kgs, they don't really look whether you have 100 kgs or 40 kgs, as long as you can fulfill their requirement. So, but they're ready to pay for it. So, of course, with market expansion, your income has gone up. Now, why it worked? Because they concentrated on trying to give you end-to-end agricultural solutions. They brought an element of sustainability and ensured the implementation was scalable. Also, climate adaptation. So you introduced AI. So AI-powered insights actually help farmers to adjust to weather changes and thereby mitigate the climate change risk. So this is an example of farm ERP, where you had set up the nurseries, you had processing centers, you do agricultural consulting, you do farmer trainings, you take help of government, tissue cultures. So a lot of research into very minor things, where you go back and into every element try to do end-to-end farming. Also, some other examples on social commerce platforms for rural entrepreneurs. You had an example of Meesho, which we have also touched in some previous chapters, where women entrepreneurs got some advantage by reselling business with zero investment. eChopal, which was an ITC initiative that provided real-time market prices and eliminated middlemen for farmer. Gramophone, which was a AI-powered advisory platform offering crop solutions and a digital marketplace. AgroStar, another success stories. What it did, it delivered agricultural inputs at farmers' doorstep with multilingual support. Social media integration. Now, all these platforms come with default social media integration, and they leverage these integrations with WhatsApp, Facebook, Insta to make it personalized and reach the rural consumers. So what are the key success factors for these platforms? So the first is, of course, localized solutions. So they tailor the service to match the regional needs and cultural preferences. Affordable technology, they try to bring everything on your mobile phone, while in the back end they do all of work. So SaaS models have, of course, been success. They do an online and offline integration and also bring a lot of training, education resources at the fingertips of the farmers or the customers. And they try to bring logistic innovation, so the last mile delivery solutions are taken care of. What are the futures of these rural e-commerce platform? There'll be an expansion of agri-tech services, because you will have an AI-driven crop management, predictive analysis, weather management, and so on and so forth. So the future, therefore, will be much better. The blockchain technology will come, which will bring transparency in the supply chain management. Green e-commerce is taking place, so there'll be a lot of focus on sustainable practices, by taking care of logistics, reduced logistics, better packaging, better organic farming and things like that, which will start making it better for the e-commerce platform. Digital inclusion will be there, as we discussed, localized language support, simplified onboarding. And government will also want to collaborate, because they see advantage of having rural economic growth. So they will do public-private partnership to support or boost up the rural digital infrastructure. What kind of technology adoption can be done by local entrepreneurs? So you'll have digital tools which the e-commerce platform will bring. And it has already brought many tools where we have seen how they have taken advantage of it. And there'll be much more success stories showing how technology has really helped them to access the market and bring about the business growth. Of course, rural, like everything, rural entrepreneurs may face some challenges like digital illiteracy, connectivity issues, but over a period of time, that will also be reduced. So digital tools, e-commerce have revolutionized the rural entrepreneurship. There are a lot of success stories that have come out of it. Rural entrepreneurs are currently also facing challenges like digital illiteracy, connectivity issues, but social commerce, precision farming, blockchain solutions are actually empowering the businesses. And government and private sector initiatives are enabling smoother digital transitions. So let's look at some examples. Shivani handicrafts from Rajasthan. So what they have taken a theme is, they are saying, we will preserve the tradition of making handicrafts and then use technology around it. So Shivani, a rural artisans which were going for fairs, suddenly with digital e-commerce went for online sales. So they participated in platforms like Amazon Saheli and Flipkart Samarth and helped her create an online store. Social media marketing, they took advantage of social media marketing, expanded the customer base to national and global players. Also, they increased earnings, helped her to hire more artisans, thereby preserving traditional crafts, because a lot of people could get employment in the local area itself. by adopting the digital payment solutions, her transaction security and buyer trust improved, and she would get the money very fast. Another example is Green Harvest Farms in Maharashtra, which are using digital tools for sustainable farming. So in this case, the farmers are adopting the Farm ERP platform that we discussed before for precision agriculture and data-driven decisions. Now, by doing that, and we discussed what Farm ERP does, the crop yield has increased by 30% because the AI looks at the soil health, the weather, the water moving under the soil and things like that. And what they have done is Farm ERP has done direct partnership with urban consumers via Big Basket so that they get a very fair pricing for these farmers. And therefore, farmers' income have gone up. They have implemented blockchain, which provides traceability. So every health conscious buyers knows the product is authenticity. They know it is correct, where it had gone, how many hands it exchanged, and everything is seen using blockchain traceability techniques. And obviously, the middleman reliance have come down, and therefore the profit margins for small farmers have gone up. On the Meesho social commerce side, they ran a separate campaign for women entrepreneurs. So Meesho, for example, enabled a woman like Neha from Uttar Pradesh to start a reselling business. So because she was doing a reselling business, it was a near zero investment model. So financial barriers to entry barriers were removed, and first time entrepreneurs can do something. So for her, WhatsApp and Facebook groups through Meesho became the key channels for product promotions. More importantly, the local language or the vernacular language support and doorstep delivery simplified the entire transaction. And with a lot of peer success stories, more and more rural women started exploring digital e-commerce. And today we are really going way ahead in the digital e-commerce space, especially from the rural side. So how did they overcome the challenges of local e-commerce adoption? So one of the challenges we said was digital literacy. So they did training programs in local language, which improved the accessibility by proving and adopting and discussing that the payment systems are secure. They build the trust and security. The government initiatives like BharatNet brought improved connectivity to the villages. Cultural barriers were overcome through voice search and local language interfaces. So people started using the platforms much easier, even if they didn't have the education background behind it. So they didn't. So not one language, they could speak their local language and still get the work done. And logistics. So many companies like delivery, etc., enhanced the last mile delivery for rural sellers. So that's how they overcame the challenges. And what are the key strategies for scaling rural digital success? So localization, I think, is the key. So localized training programs help to scale rural digital success. Make the technology affordable, make it simple so that rural entrepreneurs can use it effectively. That is another strategy that ensures that you scale up business. You do public-private partnerships to improve logistics and internet access. That is the part of government, so that once the last mile connectivity is taken care, the scaling up happens by default. Ensure that you have a community-based mentorship so that the trust and knowledge sharing takes place, and have sustainable business practice to increase market appeal and competitiveness. So how do you expand the impact? So future of digital entrepreneurship in rural India. So with increased adoption of AI and blockchain for supply chain transparency, will improve the impact. Agri-tech solutions in real-time farming insight and efficiencies growth is really expanding the impact. And more government-backed digital literacy and financial inclusion programs is helping to increase the digital entrepreneurship in rural India. Also, with the expansion of social commerce platforms, which are tailor-made for rural businesses, the impact is very high. And it is estimated, or it is viewed or hoped, that the rural entrepreneurs will play a vital role in India's growing digital economy. So, what is the global learnings for rural e-commerce in India? So, obviously, we can benefit from the global practices. So, we have to look at countries like China, Brazil, and Africa to see what they have done into the rural market to integrate on the digital commerce. So, the key lessons that we have seen is that you improve the logistic management, increase the digital literacy, and come up with localized solution. That is the biggest three learnings that you take to improve the rural e-commerce in India. Also, all these three things will help because India is a diverse landscape. So these models are rare. And more importantly, you strengthen the public-private partnership to accelerate rural e-commerce growth. So let's look at some examples. So Alibaba's rural strategy in China. So what Alibaba did is they established a village level e-commerce centers for digital literacy and support. So in every villages, if you had any challenge in e-commerce, want to get empaneled, so there's an office which is available. You go there, understand it, and then get on board on it. So that way, not only training took place, learning took place, but it also became a strong logistic network for them, for the last mile delivery. They have integrated the mobile payment systems to simplify transaction for rural consumers. And obviously then the farmers were able to sell directly to customers using a Taobao tool, and intermediaries were taken away. And more importantly, everything was done with localized content and training programs. That gave a lot of empowerment to rural entrepreneurship, and they went out and adopted the platform much easier and much faster. So what did Amazon do in Brazil, where the biggest challenge they saw was infrastructure and payment barriers, somewhat similar to what we are seeing here. So what Amazon did it is localized its platform to include regional language and local products. It introduced also a cash-based payment system and pre-card to build that trust, and it partnered with rural cooperative agencies to promote handmade and organic product. It also developed flexible delivery solutions to reach the remote villages in Brazil, and did a community-based training programs for small business to get online. And this is what they are also now doing in India. Jumia in Africa, where they tried making e-commerce accessible for rural consumers. So Jumia Lite, they introduced for low data usage because data consumption has a price. So they wanted to even reduce that price. And they made the online shopping more accessible. They engaged with the local delivery agents so that the last mile delivery connectivity challenges were addressed there. And they offered training and financial tools to help rural sellers succeed. By saying their books of accounts they can manage in their system, billing will take place from there, payments will be captured there, and things like that. They also leverage mobile money for secure cashless transaction, and they created a huge employment opportunities in the villages of Africa by integrating the rural business into the digital supply chain. This is the presence of Jumia in Africa. As you can see, with a population of 1.5 billion, Jumia looks at 55%. GDP 2 trillion 72, Jumia is addressing in Africa. 527 million internet users. So they are covering North Africa, Egypt, East Africa, West Africa, Nigeria, and so on and so forth. So what are the key global innovations that can be adopted for India? So the first one is digital literacy. So you have a village center and a mobile training program, as you have seen in China and Africa. bring the local language support, so localized platforms and tailored interface, like how Amazon is doing in the Brazil model. And lastly, have the last mile connectivity using even the local delivery agents and having a micro warehousing for last mile connectivity. So build a strong logistics network. Also have flexible payment options. So while you may want to do digital payments in everything, but you could have cash on delivery options also, so that you encourage more and more people to buy from you. And you also pick up market-driven solutions, like you connect the farmers and artisans directly to consumers through e-commerce. How can you customize best practice for India's rural e-commerce? So you start having village-level digital hubs that will strengthen the common service centers for rural digital training, so you can have training. For the last mile delivery, you can adopt Jumia's model of local delivery partners to improve the access. In payment side, you can promote offline payment option and financial literacy for digital adoption. You can empower rural producers, so expand Flipkart, Samarth, and Amazon's Karigar platforms to showcase rural products. You can bring affordable tech and training by integrating the e-commerce training into, like they have done into Pradhan Mantri's digital literacy programs. Public-private partnership, how you can use it to strengthen the rural e-commerce. So government is also collaborating with tech giants to improve the rural internet penetration. So with the expansion of BharatNet to enhance digital connectivity in remote areas, private logistic companies are now partnering with rural entrepreneurs for last mile delivery, taking an example of Jumia model that was done in Africa. You're also having joint initiatives to promote digital payment adoption and financial inclusion with fintechs and the tech companies. More importantly, extra policy support is provided for rural startups in agri tech, handicrafts, and local produced for better e-commerce integration to the global digital workspace.